today on We Really Like Musicals and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We're talking about Mary Poppins. Winds in the east, mist coming in, like something is brewing, about to begin. Can't put me finger on what lies in store, but I feel what's to happen all happened before. Oh yeah, it's our theme song. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And this is the show that's too slow. Still doing that joke.
Have we gotten any new reviews?
We did, but I didn't want to read it because it's mean.
Oh, for real?
It's like, what is happening?
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was like somebody was like, I listened to the first episode and it was painful. And I was like, well, yeah, it was our first episode. We had no idea what we were doing. I listened to the first episode and I thought it was painful. Hey, guys, don't listen to the first episode.
Yeah, should we get rid of that?
No, we should just revisit some of those like some of the first musicals we did, you know, just kind of like in our newer format that we kind of settled into.
If somebody was thinking about listening to the show, where would you start them?
You know, I love the Chicago episode. I say anything from like 10 and up is pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, there's some good ones down, a little down south of 10, but 10 and up. Guys, next month, we're doing a month-long tribute to Disney cartoon musicals. We're doing Little Mermaid, Mulan, Aladdin, and Lion King, and that's going to be super fun. But we're also going to sneak in a little episode about The Greatest Showman. We got to talk about it.
And we have to be sneaky about it? We have to sneak it in?
Well, I mean, well, it'll sneak in the middle. Like, we're going to do Disney musicals, but it's like, hey, guess what? Here's a little treat.
All right.
Hopefully it'll be a treat. Well, speaking of treats, we're talking about Mary Poppins this week, a.k.a. Mary Poppin' Dim Pills.
Got him.
Thanks at underscore Mikey Kylie for that alternate title. Gotta love Mikey Kylie's alternate titles.
Have we heard from that person before?
I think so. I think Mikey Kylie's done an alternate title or two.
Do you think that this person is saying Mary is popping the pills, or that if you watch this, it feels like you've just popped pills?
I think they're just saying Mary popping dim pills.
Thanks for the explanation.
I don't think there's a rhyme or reason other than popping.
Never need a reason, never need a rhyme.
Kick your knees up. Thanks, Mikey Kylie.
That rhymed.
I wasn't even trying to rhyme.
They say you don't need to rhyme, but then they rhyme.
Yeah, that's weird. It should be never need a reason, never need a rhyme. Kick your knees up and your elbows.
Yeah. Why don't they do that?
Which is one of the many critiques coming at you for this episode of Mary Poppins. Oh, gosh. But we were supposed to do Mary Poppins in November, and we didn't get around to it. And I'm excited. This is a great way to end the year.
Yes.
Wow. Great commentary.
I am so stoked right now.
Anyways, so Mary Poppins, classic Disney film. I think we can all agree on that. One of the best Disney films.
Definitely.
Are there people that don't like this movie? Other than P.L. Travers?
She's probably the only one. What rating does this have on Rotten Tomatoes?
Ooh, that's a good question. Question?
I'll answer that.
Okay, drum roll.
Dude, 100%.
100% on Rotten Tomatoes, for
yes.
real?
Yes. Reviews counted 46. 86% audience score. That's bizarre.
Yeah, but still, I mean, 86%, that's legit.
I mean, but 100% from the actual critics. It got an 8.3 out of 10 from the critics. Good job.
Good job, Mary Poppins.
You did it. World's greatest movie.
Yeah, if people didn't know now, it's world's greatest movie.
That's the other...
alternate title. Mary Poppin' and Pills, world's greatest movie.
I'd watch that, and I did.
What's so good about it, though? What's so good about Mary Poppins? Can we articulate this? I don't even know, you know? Well, we'll try to, but you start. Go.
Well, are you timing me?
Uh-huh.
So here's the deal. This is a movie that I watched all the time growing up, and probably twice a day, every day, for, you know, long time. And as a kid, it appealed, you know, I had all the songs and the magic and...
The Jell-O pudding.
Shh. Ah, moving on.
Popping them bills.
Oh, he's still... Why? So, yeah, I had all the magic and the fun. You know, I realized now there's a lot of things that I don't even understand what words they were saying at some points, but I just loved it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, that bank song, I don't know if I understood one word of that.
I know. Fidelity Fiduciary Bank. I'm like
how
okay.
did I ever jam to that? I don't know. But
I don't know.
I did.
Yeah, it's, so. And it's funnier as an adult, you know?
Oh, yeah. Why do you think that it's so good?
Well, I think it's so good because, like your experience, I watched it a lot as a kid. I feel like my grandma owned it on VHS or something. I don't think I did, but I, for some reason, like, every time I went over there, that was like the... she was probably, like, trying to clean the house or something, so that mm-hmm. was, like, the movie they put on to, like, calm me down or whatever.
Ours was Turner and Hooch.
I hardly know her in Hooch.
Gosh. Oh, that's it.
And so, yeah, we just, it was always on. I feel like we had cassette tapes of it too, so we listened to it in the car a lot. It's that Disney magic. I mean, I don't want to talk about this too much, but, you know, the author of the original book didn't really like what Disney was doing with her material. This is one of those things where it's like, it's hard to imagine what it would have been like if it didn't have that magical Disney spark. Like, if it would have ended up, because I haven't read the original Mary Poppins books. I'm sure they're great. I would like to read them at some point. But just some of the stuff that she didn't want in the movie is just so fun. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's sad that it messed up her, what she wanted, her vision. But also, it's just so great in its own way.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a kid, it's just magical. And then as an adult, you pick up on more of the deeper meanings and the other things that you just didn't notice. But I think it's fun for both parents and, well, not just parents, adults and kids, like, the same. Like,
yeah, and some of the stuff, I was listening to the soundtrack today. Some of the songs, like the Feed the Birds and Stay Awake, and even the Fiduciary Bank song, they don't sound like they were made for kids. So as much as they're like childlike elements, some of it's just really like good musical songs. I was like, how come people don't do that anymore? Like, I feel like when they make a movie for a kid, they have to put like kids' songs in it. Like, even songs like in Moana. Like, I love the songs in Moana, but there's not really like songs that are like geared towards adults, like in Mary Poppins. Right. Like, and the only thing I could think of to compare that to was like maybe the movie WALL-E, where it's like there's a lot of stuff kids like in WALL-E, but then there's that dance sequence they have in space. Where it's like, kids probably won't appreciate this as much as adults will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why this movie has lasted so long, because it spans generations.
Mm-hmm.
And it holds up, not just musically or anything, but like visually. Some of the stuff they do is just like, how did they do that? In 1964. Incredible.
I know.
Do we want to say what had happened in this movie? Because, I mean, do we need to?
I think everybody knows.
Can you give like maybe a really short... What had happened?
There's a lady.
I'm not even doing the accent for this one.
Nah.
Can you just do a Cockney accent? Do a Dick Van Dyke, a DVD.
Oh, boy.
Bert accent.
Well.
Is that it?
That's it.
You sounded you sounded Southern. Whale?
Oh, yeah, you're right. I feel like it's really hard to like go that strong with the accent. I'm kind of proud of him.
You're proud of Dick Van Dyke's accent? You're the only person in the world. Like, hey, it's charming and endearing and it's, you know, quirky, but it's not a good accent.
I'm proud because I can't even replicate it. That's how out there it is, you know?
Gotcha. I understand now.
But yeah, no, I mean, we all know the story. Flying Nanny comes in, takes care of the kids, shows them the world, helps them reunite with their dad, flies away.
Classic story. Well, let's talk about the music. I tried to find a song that I didn't like in this musical. And I literally going through the soundtrack, I was like it, like it, like it. Every single song, it
struggles
so good. We have to pick a least favorite song.
You have to. Gun to your head.
Gun to my head. Least favorite song. Do you want me to start with least favorite songs?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, and remember, folks, this because...
Please.
Please what?
Please start.
What?
Please go.
No, I just want to say that doesn't mean bad song, just least favorite song. I feel like I need to stress that especially in this episode, because there's all the songs are good.
Okay.
So, that being said, there's a song called A Man Has Dreams, and that is my least favorite song. This is the dad, you know, he sings The Life I Lead, and that's kind of his, like, song that he sticks with throughout the whole, it pops up a few times. This is the last one where he's kind of like changing as a person. I almost said Pearson.
As a Pearson?
He's changing as a Pearson. To me, just out of the three songs that are like this with that kind of similar melody, this is my least favorite one out of those three. Also, Bert comes in to sing at the end and he starts singing like A Spoonful of Sugar, which is neat how he kind of ties that back in. But he says, he goes, A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. A medicine go down. And I was like, oh, boy. It irks me every time. Because he doesn't sing it originally, and that's not how the other people sing it.
Right.
To emphasize the down. Oh,
it's
gosh.
It's that accent.
Yeah, that's just the one flaw in the whole musical.
Spontaneous W's. It's part of the accent.
DVD with the W's, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that happens a couple times. It's like there are songs that are reprises. Mm-hmm. So that's hard because it's like it's not really a new song. It's just the same song with different words.
Right.
But I feel like I like that part because that's kind of the breakthrough moment where he's really flustered with Mary Poppins and he thinks she's trying to ruin his life. And then Bert kind of helps him put it in perspective and like, you know, you've only got this small amount of time while they're kids, childhood's passing by, and before you know it, you're not going to have them around to even give them a spoonful of sugar. So you got to do it now.
I know.
There's like a really nice sentiment to it, which even though musically he's kind of speaking the song, so it's not like an amazing work of art. But
right, that's what I'm saying. It's not a bad moment, and I like the moment, but as much as the like you see him turning, like realizing things, I think the next song that they sing, the Let's Go Fly a Kite, I think that's more where he's embraced it finally. And so that to me is more triumphant than the actual turning point.
Everybody's got to have a turning point.
I know, and it's a good scene. It's just, I think it's the weakest song, but yeah, that's just my opinion. What about you, a least favorite song?
Ever since I was a wee lad.
Tiny little tot, the spoiled little baby.
Spoiled little baby. I always hated Feed the Birds, and I would fast forward that every time. Hated it. As an adult, I mean, I can handle it, you know? Like, I've grown up enough. I think
But don't you think it's a pretty song?
I think it's okay. I don't know. I think just because I always was like, what does this have to do with anything? And this is so slow. You know, I mean, as an adult, I'm kind of like, okay, like, I get it. Like, it's sweet. It's just still not my favorite. It's not one I would put on at a party, you know?
Well, no, of course not. You wouldn't put this song on us. It's a sad sounding song.
I'm kidding. But yeah, it's just not, it's never been one of my favorites. Since.
Can I blow your mind then?
Sure.
Guess whose favorite song that was?
DVDs.
Nope, Walt Disney.
Oh, really?
Walt Disney's favorite song was Feed the Birds. I think
Why?
They even played it at his funeral. He thought it was a beautiful song and a sweet sentiment to it, like a sweet message. I don't know. I think he thought it was just what the movie needed to kind of add a little bit of heart to it. Because really, that's like... That's an important moment in the movie when Michael decides that he doesn't want to just, you know, send his money to the bank. He wants to use it to help people, you know?
I mean, definitely I understand the meaning behind it, but I think feeding the birds is like, you know, you could feed children, maybe. That would be better.
Well, I guess so. I guess the British government would agree with you too, because they outlawed feeding birds because the birds would just poop everywhere and ruin steps and buildings and statues. So
yeah, it's probably pretty messy around her. But she's taking one for the team. Thanks, Bird Lady.
Well, speaking of Walt Disney's favorite song, let's talk about our favorite songs now. So what's your favorite song?
I hadn't thought about this.
Really?
Yeah, I really.
I mean, we do it every episode. You hadn't thought about it?
Oh, yeah. I hadn't really thought about it, but I know what it is now. I couldn't remember. My favorite is I Love to Laugh because that's relevant to me.
Because you love to laugh.
And I when I laugh, I feel like I'm floating up to the ceiling and having tea even on the ceiling.
Okay.
And I just really like that scene. Gets
that's
me every
scene.
Time. It's a classic scene. What about yours?
Step in Time. Love
that
song.
That makes sense.
It's not just a fun song, but it's a fun scene.
It's a really good scene.
And it goes on forever, and it could keep going on, and I would love every single minute of it.
Mm-hmm. You gotta appreciate all that work they put into that.
Yeah, I heard it took a week to shoot, because they filmed it once, and then there was like a scratch on the film, and they were like, oops, gotta do it again. But that actually, they weren't even supposed to do that song. They were gonna sing Chim Chim Tree on the roof. Somebody, one of the writers... of the songs, I think they're the Sherman Brothers. I could be wrong, but mm-hmm. one of the writers heard an old British, like, Cockney drinking song,
mm-hmm.
and it was called, like, Knees Up Mother Brown, I think it was called.
Okay.
And it's so similar, like, I listened to it today. It's so similar to Step in Time, but, like, different enough to where they're their own separate songs, but, like, and it's a really fun song, too. I recommend going to listen to it, Knees Up Mother Brown.
And that's where they got the idea.
Yeah. And they just riffed on it forever. And I mean, that song's like 8 minutes long or something like that. And like such cool sequences of them swinging out over the roofs and like tap dancing down the sides on the shingles and with the chimney sweep brooms. And then Mary Poppins turns into a wizard and spins around.
Oh, yeah. You don't like that part.
7 billion faces. It's terrifying. But
it's the same face. She's just spinning very quickly.
I know, but it's scary looking. When I was a kid, it wasn't like, oh, she's spinning. It was like, she's shaking and has 7 faces.
Do you think she was possessed?
I really did. I thought that was the point. I thought she was like a demon woman.
Maybe she is. She's popping them pills.
That's true. One of the first times we get a little hint of the personalities of the Banks kids, Michael and Jane.
Jane and Michael. Thanks.
Yeah, that's during that song, The Perfect Nanny. What do you think about that song?
When I was little, that was always... I want to say it was my favorite, but...
It's so
cute. I don't know.
Cute.
I feel like they were all my favorites, but yeah. Dude, that was the best song.
It was funny. Like,
it was so funny. I love Michael's little, like, I put that one in.
Yeah.
Every 5 seconds.
I wrote that one, too.
He's so proud.
Yeah, dude, I love that song. I love how it comes back, like, that's the note that Mary Poppins finds.
Well, first he sings that tune to what he wants his wife to write for the ad, right?
And then I don't think he doesn't sing that tune. I think he sings The Life I Lead.
Oh, okay. He writes that first, and then...
Yeah.
Doesn't that tune come back at some point? I just feel like they all come back.
Well, there's a lot of layers. The writers... Because even, like, during... Step in Time, there's like a random part where it sounds like Spoonful of Sugar.
Okay. It's very confusing.
Yeah. But it's awesome. I love when songs mm-hmm. are linked together like that. That's one of the great things I like about Hamilton.
That's
modern
true.
Day Mary Poppins.
You could say that.
Okay, yeah, let's talk about Sister Suffragette. What do you think about Sister Suffragette?
Great song.
Really? Yeah, that was one of the songs I thought was fun when I was a kid, but I didn't really understand what was going on.
I mean... It's like, yeah, what is suffragette? But, like, we all just sang it like we knew.
Yeah. I think I even, like, marched around my house with, like, a wooden spoon. Like, you know what I mean?
No, I believe it.
And I was like, I'm a sister suffragette.
As you should. I mean, I guess the first music is DVD playing in the streets, but then that's, like, the first, like, actual song.
Yeah.
And you're already, like... off your seat, like, let's do this.
Let's do it.
Getting it. And they're marching around the house, and I feel empowered. I feel like I can do anything.
I see. I didn't feel like that.
But it's just a fun song, no matter what, even if you have no idea what they're talking about. But I love that. They added a little element of her fighting for what she believes in.
Well, the reason they did that was they needed a reason for her to be neglectful of the kids so that they needed a nanny. So, yeah, they created that character to be a suffragette so she would be out of the house all the time.
Right.
But it's a fun way to do that.
And I think it's just, you know, it's for a good cause.
Although I think at the end, I heard some people complaining. I don't get the complaint, but, like, some people were like, at the end, she gives up that and just is like, I want to stay at home with my kids. And they're like, no, go be empowering. Like, but it's like, it's her life, you know? If she wants to stay at home with her, she's not, you know, it doesn't mean she's not a strong woman just because she wants to be with her kids.
Yeah, I think that there's a balance and, you know, we don't know what happened after the curtain closed.
Yeah. What?
You heard.
All right. What about The Life I Lead? What about that song? How about that?
How about that? I think it's nice we get a little look into, his perspective, and that's kind of our introduction to, okay, like, he likes things to be on time. He likes to know the plan. He's on schedule always.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a feel for why he's so yikes all the time, you know?
He just seems so distracted. Like,
well, the problem is he's like too focused. Like, he's too zoned in on whatever he's doing in that moment. He can't like hear anything else.
Or, yeah. The house is like blowing up or whatever.
The kids are missing. And he's like, precisely.
Yeah.
And he's
splendid.
So it's kind of, he's just too, he's not really aware. What's happening?
Which I think it's a great way to write that character, but the author of the book didn't like that. She didn't want the dad to be so mean. She thought that was unnecessary, but I thought it was a great way of storytelling because it gives their redemption at the end.
Yeah. I wouldn't even say he's mean. It's just kind of like his personality is a certain way and he hasn't learned how to control it and how
he's
to
oblivious.
Like adjust. Yeah. I mean, so it's not like he's beating them. He just, right. he needs
well,
to
that
learn.
Would have taken a twist, huh? Mary Poppins 2 and the dad just beats the kids the whole time. Mary Poppins shows up and she's like, we got to get out of here.
I'm calling CPS.
Kick your knees up, call CPS. Kick your knees up.
That really flows. I like that.
Does it?
Yeah. Let's change it.
Okay, so Mary Poppins shows up. We got this lady coming in from out of town on a cloud with a talking umbrella.
Totally normal.
And she brings the kids upstairs and she says, hey, clean your room. And they say, nah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what would you have said to a kid?
Wait, to try to get them to clean their room?
Uh-huh.
Probably would have said, if you don't clean your room, you don't eat for a week.
Okay, well, she says the opposite of that. She says, grab a spoonful of sugar.
Does she? She doesn't even give them a spoonful of sugar.
I know.
Isn't that weird?
It is. It's kind of it's a fun song, but I...
Also, have you ever tried a spoonful of sugar?
No, I had a friend that used to eat just sugar packets. He would crack them open and drink it, basically. And
I tried a spoonful of sugar once, and it's not as enjoyable as it sounds. It's too much.
Yeah, later she gives him that, like... medicine?
Yeah,
is that kind of like what she means? Like, is it like sweet medicine? A spoonful of like sugary?
No, because remember she puts it in front of them and they're like, I don't want it.
Yeah, until like
we're all taking our medicine.
Oh, you know how it comes
like
out in like three different colors and they're like, whoa, how'd you do that? Those kids, they didn't know that was going to happen when they were filming. And so their reactions are really like
Michael's face.
I know. He's really like, holy cow.
But it's so cute because it's like their favorite flavors.
Oh, but anyways, spoonful of sugar.
Did you do that thing where you would try to like snap at your stuff and see if it would clean up itself?
I don't think I ever did that. No.
Just me?
Just you. Yeah. I knew it was a movie. I knew that couldn't happen.
Well, I mean, come on. How old are you?
Well, good point. But also, I will say, I didn't try to snap at my toys, but I did try to fill bags full of things that were too big to fit in a bag.
Please explain.
Well, you know how she pulls like a lamp out of a bag or like a plant? And so I tried to replicate that somehow. Like, I don't think I ever actually stuffed anything in a bag, but I would set my brothers like on the other side of a table and like pretend like I was doing it. I'm like, magic. And they were like, can we play with Legos now?
James is trying to do magic again. Call my mom. I want to go home.
She's not here. She's trying to fight for women's right to vote.
That always was really impressive to me.
Okay. Well, I have some facts.
Okay.
But two of them are fact and one of them's fake.
Okay.
So do you want to play Fact or Faked?
Yes.
Play that theme
Please.
Song. Okay. That's a fact, baby.
Please.
You don't have to keep saying please. Why do you keep saying please to me today?
Please.
Why?
I really want to play.
Okay, well, settle down, children.
Oh.
So I have three facts, and one of them is not true. And they're about the movie Mary Poppins.
So you have two facts.
Two facts, yeah, and one faked. And you have to guess which one. Yeah, okay, we get it. So here is your first fact or faked.
Mm-hmm.
The original script had a scene in which Mary Poppins takes the children to the bottom of the ocean where they meet a sad whale. That is your first fact or faked.
Okay.
Second one. Many of the nannies in the large line at the beginning of the movie were actually men in drag.
Hmm.
That is your second fact.
Okay.
Third fact. Julie Andrews provided the whistling for the animatronic Robin during the song Spoonful of Sugar.
Hmm.
So those are your three facts.
Okay. The first fact, that sounds real, because it's so many other things happen. Why wouldn't that happen? Why wouldn't there be a sad whale?
I think that all the time. I'm like, why isn't there a sad whale around right now?
Right. Like, come on. More sad whales, please. Hashtags more sad whales.
Okay.
I was going to say save the sad whales, but then they wouldn't be sad, and I want them to be sad.
Why do you want the whales to be sad? That's so mean.
I don't know. It's what we're asking for, is sad whales.
Okay.
So that sounds like that could be real. And then the second one, I mean, it could be real, but like, why? You know, why would they need to do that? Unless it's just like a fun prank for them, you know, that they know and nobody else knows.
Maybe it was a callback to like Shakespearean times, you know, like men being dressed up like women. I don't know.
That was probably it. Yeah. And then and then the third one was, what was that again?
Julie Andrews provided the whistling for the animatronic Robin during the song Spoonful of Sugar.
I think that's real because I've always thought they sounded alike.
Really?
I mean, yeah. Does all whistling sound the same to you?
Well, no, but I mean, usually I can't tell who's whistling, just, you know.
It takes time, you know, you gotta learn.
Oh, so you're
the different.
But you're a pro at it now?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, so, you know, based on those solid facts that I have for you, I would have to say that number two is the faked.
Number two, she thinks is faked. You do not think there were men in drag at the beginning?
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think they would need to do that. I'm sure they had plenty of women who would dress up.
Bonk. That
really?
Is true.
Really?
Yeah, and let me tell you why I think. Because I hadn't thought of what you said, like why even? But
right.
I think here's the reason. Because eventually those women get blown away by the wind, and I think there were a lot of stuntmen dressed up like women that get blown away. So I think that's probably why. I don't know how many stunt women they had in 1964. So yeah, anyways, no, that one's true.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The fake one was the script about them going to the bottom of the ocean with meeting a sad whale. I just made that up.
Hey, I like sad whales, I guess.
I guess so. I do. You know, a whale just seems like a sad creature to me.
Yeah, like, does he have whale friends?
Well, never know.
Yeah, you're right. But maybe we'll see.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Was that a buoy joke?
Buoy. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, buoy. Good one. Okay. And so that means, Julie Andrews, that was her whistling in A Spoonful of Sugar. So you called
that.
You called that one straight up.
I mean, he whistles so well, and when they harmonize, and it just sounds perfect together. It's just got to be her.
It doesn't really have to be. I'm sure other people could harmonize whistle with her.
But you know how like your voice mixed with your own voice is the most great blending job you could do?
I know.
Well, I just mean like any person's voice mixed with their own voice is always going to blend better.
Right.
Because it's you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Also, when that Robin is sitting on her finger, she has like a billion wires going up the arm of her dress. And like, so it's all hidden, but apparently she was just like covered in wires, which is weird to think about.
But she wasn't doing anything.
No, she wasn't controlling it, but she was secretly hiding.
Very interesting.
She has a secret. Mary Poppins has a secret.
Or maybe it was magic.
That is something about Mary Poppins, though, if you think about it, that she does kind of feel like she's hiding something. Do you get that feeling?
I mean, think about the whole thing. She flies in from nowhere, won't say where she's from and where she's been. She freaking measures the children, and it comes up with exactly the adjectives to perfectly describe them.
Spooky.
And then hers says practically perfect in every way. I mean, there's so many weird things.
Yeah.
And then they jump through the chalk paintings and they go to a magical land. I mean,
which is fun. I mean, it's fun. So I'm cool with her being like this fun, magical lady, but there's also something like slightly sinister about her.
Oh, yeah.
Am I the only one that thinks that? No? Okay.
No. I mean, I would agree.
You know, they're making a second one, Mary Poppins Returns, next year. And Lin-Manuel Miranda's in it. And, oh, who's playing Mary Poppins?
Emily Blunt.
I hope they just make her evil the whole time.
You hope they make her evil.
No, but I hope
you
that...
You want, like, a Grimm Brothers Mary Poppins.
No, but what I'm saying is I want there to... I hope they don't take that element away. I hope there's something still slightly kind of, like, mischievous about her, you know?
I always thought, like, even the way she talks to the children is interesting. Like, it's not this fluffy, like, hi. It's... She's just very, like... Listen, this is what we're doing, whether you like mm-hmm. it or not. Sorry. Not sorry.
She's very stern, which is, which I think is what
but
makes
her so... But
they still
love her.
Yeah, because she's still fun. She's stern, but it's like everything she's stern about, it's like, well, yeah, it's she's not irrational.
I think even in the I love to laugh scene, like that always was really intriguing to me, her reaction to it. I mean, she was just very, like, they're having so much fun, and she's like a huge, like, letdown. Like, she's just... Come on, get off the ceiling. No, we're not going to do this. Like, right. Let's think of something sad. Let's, you know, and you're like, why? Like, why don't you want to have fun? Why don't you want to laugh? Like, it's interesting. Like, her character is just really fascinating. Like, you almost just can't predict what she's going to do or what her reaction will be to each scenario.
Yeah. And I think the original author, P.L. Travers, wanted her to be more stern. And I think that would have ended up being more predictable. But I'm glad that they made her stern, because I think Disney wanted her to be more lovable and more mm-hmm. charming. And I feel like the balance that, like, this tug of war between the sternness and the friendliness, the loving side of Mary Poppins, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes her such a fascinating character. Because you just, you don't know, she's a mystery, even emotionally.
Have you heard, like, the theories about her and Bert?
What, like, dating?
Like, any theories?
No, I just know that P.L. Travers didn't want any hint of a relationship between her and Bert, so...
Right. So, the theory is that she nannied him back in the day, that he was... She was his nanny. And so, that's how he knows her. And then when she... Whenever he sees her, you know, it's like... He keeps growing up, but she always stays the same age because she's a witch.
That's interesting, yeah.
There's the whole element of she tried to do the same thing with him and his dad, but his dad was, you know, past the point of no return, I guess, with all the bank stuff. And she, I guess, couldn't help him in that way. And so she feels, like, guilty, and that's why she likes to still check in on him and, like, see him when she can.
Yeah, that's interesting. Never thought about that.
Me neither. And I liked that because I always, it was a very weird relationship that I never understood. And you're like, oh, I guess they like each other, but like, what? I don't know. Like, do they?
Right.
What? And you just don't know. But that explanation, I feel like, makes a lot more sense.
I like that. Because I don't want them to be romantically involved.
Yeah. Well, and they don't like end up together. I mean, she flies away. Right. So that would be sad anyways if... You know, they had this great connection, and then she's like, peace out.
So now we're going to play a game called What Song Is That From? Play the theme song.
Hey, wait a second. I gotta know. What song is that from?
Elise, I have some song lyrics for you from Mary Poppins.
Whoa.
And I'm going to have you guess what song they're from. Does this make sense?
I need you to go over it 4 more times.
Nope. Hey, guys, play along at home, by the way. This should be a fun one. I feel like we're very familiar with this movie, so let's see if we can stump Elise.
If you do stump me, then it's like everybody's stumping me?
Yep, we're all against you.
Yikes. Okay, yep. Cool.
All right, first lyric. Mm-hmm. Their task is not a grind.
Their task is not a grind. Etc.
Okay, yep.
So that's going to be a spoonful of sugar.
That's going to be bing, bing, bing.
Bing, 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 Crosby.
Let's not. Christmas is over.
Sorry.
Let's think of another one. All right. Yeah, you got that right. See, I tried to find some ones that might be a little tricky, but I don't know. That's an easy one, though.
I mean, I liked it.
Because you got it right.
Yeah.
All right. Second lyric. Railways through Africa, dams across the Nile.
Fidelity, fiduciary bank.
There's not even any hesitation on these. Maybe you know these better than I thought.
He's telling him where he can stick his money.
I wouldn't say it like that, but invest.
In the bank.
Yeah, okay. Well, can we just talk real fast about how Dick Van Dyke DVD, how he plays that old bank guy, and it's incredible.
So good.
And how does... We talked about this when we watched it, but like the makeup job on him, I never knew that was Dick Van Dyke when I was a kid.
Yeah, me either.
It looks so good. And it's still, how come we can't do old aged makeup like that? And like, I saw that movie, what was it called? Like FDR or something with Leonardo DiCaprio. And he was supposed to be like an old president. And I was like, dude, you're wearing makeup for sure.
You know, maybe part of it is the fact that when things are made now, they're so HD. They're so crystal clear that we can like see every little nook and cranny, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I'm going to blame it on Disney magic.
That definitely could be it, for sure.
But he's so funny. The physical comedy he does.
Yeah, I was going to say, the way that he is just hobbling everywhere and sticking his cane in the air and
swinging around, like falling over. And at the end where he like floats in the air and because he's laughing. I feel like that kind of scared me as a kid. When he all of a sudden like starts laughing so hard and floats up in the air.
No, yeah. That's so fun. I always wished I could float in the air.
Well, yeah, but like, I guess I never got the connection to the I love to laugh. So like now it makes sense. But as a kid, I didn't make that connection. And I was just like, he's laughing and he's flying. He's possessed. So scary.
Oh, man. I wanted to fly so bad.
That role was supposed to go to someone else, but... Dick Van Dyke was cast as Bert, and then he read the script and he was like, I want to beat that role too. And so he had to like retry out for that. Like it wasn't in the plans.
What?
Yeah.
What a cool dude.
I know. And I think he actually like, he said he would do anything, like even take a pay cut. Like they didn't have to pay him extra for it. So like, I think the money that was supposed to go to him actually went to like some like animal foundation to like help animals or something like that.
He's feeding the birds.
Feeding the birds.
Ooh.
All right. So third lyric. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's getting worse every year.
It's getting worse every year.
Man, I can't.
I love to laugh.
You. Yeah. I love to laugh. It's getting worse every year. Can you do some of the laughs that they do in that scene, by the way?
Some people laugh through their noses, sounding something like this. Some people laugh through their teeth, goodness sakes. Hissing and fizzing like fizzing, snakes. Yeah, some laugh too fast. Hee.
Some only blast.
Bah. Then there's some kind that can't make up their mind.
Hee. Great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I feel like you're definitely gonna get the rest of them.
Okay.
Have you ever gotten all of them? I'm sure you have.
I doubt it.
Well, this might be, you know.
I usually struggle.
This will be a great way to end the new year. No, end the old year.
End the old year and ring in the new year.
Here is your fourth lyric. King Edward's on the throne. It's the age of men.
Ooh, that's gotta be, I don't know the tune, but that's gotta be The Life I Lead.
The Life I Lead. Yep. You got it right again. Dang it.
King Edward's on the throne. I don't know that, how that goes, that part.
I think he's kind of like talk singing. And he's like, King Edward's on the throne. It's the age of men.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Splendid. That's what I'm going to say.
George,
instead of being,
the children are missing.
Instead of being, I'll just go splendid.
I would accept that.
Now that we only have one more left. You better get it right so I can say splendid.
Oh gosh, that's a lot of pressure.
All right, here is your last lyric.
Okay.
Never be cross or cruel.
Never give us castor oil or gruel. That's got to be the perfect nanny.
Love us like a son and daughter.
And never smell a barley water. I added that part in too.
Splendid.
Hey.
You got it right.
Yes.
I looked up what barley water was.
Oh, what's barley water?
It's like the tea made out of barley pearls or something like that.
Does it smell bad?
Apparently. I don't know. Most people mix it with like lemons and stuff, but
yeah.
I was curious. I was like, what is barley water?
And yeah, even those kids, they said a lot of things I didn't understand as a kid either. Must be the the whole difference in country situation.
Huh? Cultural differences? What?
We're all the same. Splendid, splendid.
Splendid, splendid. What'd you think of this Stay Awake song?
Ah, I love it. I wish it was longer. It's so short because they fall asleep immediately.
Right.
Which is probably from the drugs that she put in the medicine that she gave them.
Yeah, Mary Poppin' Dem Pills.
That's what I always said. Did you like it?
Oh, I love that song. I told you, I can't find a song I don't like in this musical.
Right.
But I think as a kid, that one, you know, it's a sleepy song. It's a lullaby. But I think it's a really pretty song.
It's so pretty.
Apparently, it took her like 47 takes to do. Because she wanted it to sound gentle. Like the perfect amount of like whisper to singing. So it like she was very much a perfectionist. Where on the other hand, DVD did the opening song in one take.
Really?
Yeah. So he got that down.
It's like, I'm out of here.
Yep. It's like, get this drum off me.
Like the things when he's doing the music and he's asking people for money, like that scene.
Yeah, where he goes up to people and he's like, the constable's responsible. Now, how does that sound? Well, we got to talk about Jolly Holiday and Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Let's get into that.
Agreed.
Because I feel like those were some of my favorite scenes as a kid.
No, you know what you liked? You liked the penguins.
I love the penguins. They were supposed
we all
to be
love the penguins.
They were supposed to be waiters, and then
I know. They're so cute.
And well, no, I'm yes, they were waiters, but I'm saying they were supposed to be human waiters.
Oh.
And Walt Disney was like, you know what? Waiters always reminded me of penguins. Make them penguins.
Really?
Yeah.
Reminded him of penguins.
Yeah, because the waiters dress, they look like penguins in suits and stuff. But yeah, I love that scene.
And I mean, are we going to talk about the long pants?
We can. The magical long pants.
I just, every time I see that, I just, it really.
It's so
I'm
bizarre.
So interested.
Why are you so interested about them?
Oh, they're so interesting to me. I mean, I would like to see the original pants. I know I've said that before. I want them in a museum.
I'm sure so they're in a museum somewhere.
They've got to be. And it's just crazy that like they were just like, yeah, this is, we're pretending like he pulled his pants that far down and it's fine. And we all know there's no way they could be at his ankles and still be...
Yeah, but he's dancing with cartoon penguins in a drawing that's in the ground.
Right.
So, I mean, right. It's amazing to me that you're blown away by his pants being long all of a sudden, when literally their umbrella and cane just floated through the air and had a dance sequence.
You gotta admit that you were interested in the pants.
I mean, I thought it was bizarre. I thought, how did he do that? Because, I mean, the whole thing is how did he... They're on carousel horses that are popping off of the carousel.
When I was younger, it was how did they do that? But now that I'm older, it's like, how did the people making the movie think that that was going to be okay?
I mean, I think it's fine. It's not like he flashes anybody. And even if he did, who's there? Mary Poppins? She's legal.
I don't like this conversation. Also, that probably supports the theory that, like, he's been there before with Mary.
Right.
She took him there when he was a little kid. I'd like to see a movie about that. I'd like to see a prequel.
I think that'd be interesting, but dangerous.
Yes. But I mean, this new movie might be dangerous.
Yeah, but Lin-Manuel Miranda, you know?
I understand, but I'm just saying, watch out.
I'll watch out. You know what I thought would
behind
be...
you.
Oh, you know what I thought would be a fun thing to do is like if this became a tradition and every year we ended with Mary Poppins and just talked about it forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then like because next year there's going to be a new Mary Poppins and we could like talking about them both and like
maybe the next year there'll be a new Mary Poppins
the prequel.
Oh yeah, like Star Wars, we can go all out of order.
All right, I'll contact my
splendid,
people.
Splendid,
splendid, splendid.
Yeah, have your people call my people.
You know what I'll say to them?
What?
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, because I won't know what to say.
Right. Yes,
that's the word you say when you don't know what to say.
Yeah, and that was another thing, going back to the Bert theory, because they were saying with supercalifragilistic, he says that he learned it as a boy, and no one else knows that word, but Mary Pop. So they're
Mary
like,
Pop.
Clearly, she taught him that so that he could save his aching nose. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just laughing at my own NSYNC joke.
Oh, I was thinking maybe that was Hanson.
No, it's Dirty Pop, but
I thought it was Mbop.
No, that would be Mary Pop, ba-dooby-dop, bop, Mary Pop, ba-dooby-dop, bop. But no, I did Mary Pop. Sick and tired of all these people talking about.
Good. Anyways, so do you agree or disagree with that?
What? I forgot what we're talking about.
That supports the theory that he had her as a
baby. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's a theory, but I mean, the writers didn't intend it. So, like,
did
you know.
They?
I don't think they did. It's a fun thing to talk about, but I mean, supporting the theory, I mean, it adds to a fan theory, but I don't think it, I mean, if that was the case, the writers would have just straight up been like, oh yeah, that's what happened. Why would they hide that? They're not Mary Pop.
I don't know if it was like a hidden thing. I think it was more of just like, they just kind of knew that and they were just like, that's an added little nugget.
That's fine.
Okay. Anyways, you like this song because it's a made-up nonsense word and you like nonsense words.
That's all I had to say. Thanks.
I was just getting you started.
You know, you can't say it backwards. Doshisali
expiali fragicali rupus.
Yep. Doshisali expiali fragicali rupus.
I've never said that before. And I mean, that's not really backwards.
Rupus is backwards.
But then she says doshisali expiali.
She just sings. It's not
expiali fragicali rupus.
She sings it in reverse order, but it's not technically backwards in the traditional sense, except for the word rupus.
Yeah,
which even then, it's not
that?
Even rupus, it's rupus. Well, that, I mean, you try to say it all backwards.
No.
Like, actually backwards.
You can't make me.
Suoikad
ilaiapik sek it. Silly.
Too slow.
Garf.
Garf.
Black. Repus. Did it.
You did it.
It only took me 2 years.
I feel like me and my brother have tried to do that before. it's probably when we were kids, we spent forever trying to like do that.
It's challenging. Maybe your mom put you up to it to keep you still for a minute.
Chim chiminy, chim chiminy, chim chim cheree. La da 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 da.
Bad company.
Splendid, splendid.
I choose me bristles with pride. Yes, I do.
Well, there's a bunch of, yeah, he sings it.
There's
there,
a lot of versions.
And then he sings it earlier on when he's like.
Oh, in the beginning, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sings.
Like the very beginning when he's walking to the houses, doesn't he sing?
He sings it a bunch of times. It's a great.
Oh,
it's
I think
Bert
he's whistling
classic.
It or something. Yeah, it's like his theme song. And then The Life I Lead is Dad's theme song.
I like how they do that. I like how it all kind of ties
oh,
together.
Oh, yeah, because he does it in Pavement Artist.
Yeah, when he says he's a screever.
Yeah,
and
that's
I,
what you're
I always
about.
Go, what's a screever? And then he's like, he kind of explains it.
It's
like,
the artist of highest degree.
But I just remember when I was a kid, he was like, I'm a screever today. And every time I'd be like, what's a screever? And then he'd answer it. And I'm like, oh.
Every time you forgot.
Yeah, thanks, DVD.
It doesn't really explain it, but, you know, something. I like that song, but I don't, nothing stands out to me about it, you know?
Well, don't they sing Chim Chim Cheree, like when they're like walking in all the smoke clouds over London? Because that's a cool
is
scene.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think it is. When like Mary Poppins puts all that black on her nose.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. She pulls out her makeup and makes it worse.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that scene where they're like, there's like a staircase made out of smoke and stuff.
Yeah, and then he's like, cool, what a view.
Exactly. That is such a cool scene. But I feel like I always kind of link that scene with Step in Time since it's all on the roofs. To me, Chim Chim Cheree and Step in Time were kind of like one song.
Totally agree. That's why I just feel like the songs keep coming back and around and in between. And
over
before,
and sideways.
Among, hello. Around, about, before, behind, below, beneath, side, between, beyond, by, down, during, except for, from, in, inside, into, like, near, on, off, over, past, and through, throughout.
Splendid, splendid.
Great song.
Yeah. I feel like we didn't even talk about that song. You just had you say a bunch of random words. What happened? Are you okay?
Is that a stroke?
of genius. Oh, the producers.
I want to hear your opinion on I Love to Laugh.
I like the song. I feel like out of all the songs, it's probably not one of my favorites, but it's still a great song, and I always thought it was a fun scene.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best part of the song was when they like start telling the jokes. That to me was like so funny as a kid when he's like, what's the name of his other leg? What's the other joke they do about
Oh, I ran over his cat and I came to his house and I said, I'd like to replace your cat. And she said, how good are you at catching mice? Or something like that.
Oh, that's so funny.
That one's awful. It's really bad.
I really hope there's an element of that in the new musical. I feel like there's all these scenes, but they all kind of link together. But that one is so like standalone because it's like, who is this guy?
Can I go back to the Bert theory again?
Oh gosh,
is that Bert overused?
No, it's fine.
Well, because it's like parts of it were to back it up, and I'm just thinking of them as we're talking about it. But they had said that that's his uncle, it's Bert's uncle,
right.
And that's why Mary Poppins knows him really well, because she used to be around him, whatever, and that he's the only one who, like, was able to stay away from, like, that really heavy bank-obsessed life, and so that's why he's a little more
theory.
Loopy, he's a little more crazy, and he's got to laugh to keep himself sane.
Yeah, but yeah. No, I liked that scene. I always think it's fun when there's people on roofs. I don't know why. I think it's because
you would really like the fiddler on the roof.
Oh boy! No, I think it's because, like, as a kid, I always like would lay on the couch upside down and just like imagine myself like walking around on the ceiling and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So like that scene as a kid was just like, yeah, I want to do that. I wish I could float up there and just tap dance on the ceiling or something.
Right?
Doesn't Dick Van Dyke do that? He tap dances on the ceiling?
Yeah. Well, he's not tap dancing. I think he's stomping to his joke. He's like laughing so hard he's stomping.
Well, speaking of tap dancing, did you know that Fred Astaire and Danny Kaye were in consideration for the role of Bert?
No.
Well, that would have been weird, huh? Fred Astaire?
No. Because Dick Van Dyke
He's just
Dick Van Dyke.
He's charming. Charming. Oh, you haven't heard?
Uh-oh. What is that?
I was quoting Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812. Charming.
Haven't seen it yet.
Haven't seen it. Well, spoiler alert, they say the word charming in it.
Oh, great. Just forget it. I'm not watching it.
Do you want to rate this? I feel like it's time to rate this.
I will just mention before we rate it that I saw this on Broadway.
You saw this on Broadway?
I did.
When? How do I not know that?
Because it was a long time ago. It was like 2009, I think.
Mm, it's different on Broadway, isn't it? Like, there's different things.
Yeah, there's added songs. Because I remember being like, that's not a part of the movie. But this is the only one that we saw on Broadway. All I remember, I mean, I remember it was great. But then the main thing I remember is that at the end, she, like, flies over everybody's heads. It was so cool.
For real? Like, she goes over the audience?
Yes.
Oh,
I was just
so
like watching
ridiculous.
Her float around like across the ceiling, and it was amazing. My life changed.
Well, I can tell. And you said, I'm going to have a podcast one day.
Yes. I talked exactly like that in 2009, and then look at me now.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's awesome. I had no idea. You know, I haven't listened to the music from it on Broadway, but I did watch a documentary about like the life of P.L. Travers, and it was on like PBS in the 90s, and it was basically an advertisement for the Broadway version, and I thought it looked interesting, but they didn't really give enough clips of it for me to form an opinion, but I'd like to see that one day.
Oh, yeah, you would.
Splendid, splendid. Okay, let's rate this. I'm going to go ahead and rate it first. I'm going to give it a 9. I feel like most of the time when I rate musicals, I do it based on like plot and music and only that. But with this one, it's not just like plot and music. Like visually, it's just incredible.
Yeah.
It's Disney at its best because it's like the fun cartoon side of Disney, the magical side of Disney, heartwarming, touching, emotionally mature, but also just like fun and childlike. It's... When you watch this movie, it's what you feel like when you're at Disneyland, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and this movie, I mean, it won like 5 Oscars. It's like the most any Disney movie has ever won. I feel like it was Walt Disney's favorite, and it had his favorite song, Feed the Birds, in it. I don't know. It's just such a good, solid chunk of movie and musical. It's so good. So I'm going to give it a 9. It's classic, and I think it still holds up.
I'm going to rate it practically perfect in every way. Which translates to a 10.
A big old 10.
And is the only time, is it? I think this is the only time I've ever given a 10 to anything.
I think so.
But, you know, upon further review, where's the fault? In our stars, perhaps?
Maybe when Dick Van Dyke says, Dow Wown.
Okay, maybe that could have been better. Still a 10, though. Like you said, it's fun, upbeat. We got a lot of fun songs. But then I think there's a lot of deeper meanings to everything. Just the whole dynamic of dad with the kids, mom with the kids, and like them finding how important that is to, you know, raise their own children, etc. Then just the complicated, interesting character of Mary Poppins. Like, there's a lot with her. And
yeah, Julie Andrews won the Oscar for Best Actress that year.
That's, I mean, no Oscars. Doubt, no doubt.
I know. She did a great job. And yeah, she, I think she was supposed to be in My Fair Lady, but Audrey Hepburn got that role instead. And then she ended up going up against Audrey Hepburn for Best Actress, and she beat her. So,
got her. But yeah, just that whole character is really interesting. And Bert's character is fascinating to me.
Bert alert.
That's what I said. He's constantly switching jobs, and I'm not sure exactly. There's probably a lot of messages that you could take away from that. But I think like one thing is just kind of enjoying whatever you're doing and just giving it your best with whatever you choose to do and finding joy in it. And so it's just everybody has a really interesting character and everybody develops and learns. And so there's just a lot of, there's deepness to it too. It's not just this fun, like romp in the hay, if you will.
I won't.
I don't blame you. But yeah, 10 out of 10, would watch again and would rate it 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, they're plural. Okay, good. I was worried it was just singular, and then you went and added that S.
Just one Rotten Tomato.
All right. Well, there it is. Our Mary Poppins review, critique, enjoyment. Let's call it a celebration.
Okay.
Mary Poppins celebration.
And Mary 2017.
Yes. And guys, it's going to be 2018 in a second. Hold up. Hold your butts.
In 1 second.
Well, not in 1 second. I mean, technically it will.
Yeah.
When it happens, it'll happen in a blink of an eye.
That's true.
What are we talking about? Okay, so, but speaking of next year, the month of January, gosh, that's going to be a fun one. Like I said before, we got Little Mermaid, Mulan, Aladdin, and The Lion King coming at you. That's going to be another celebration of Disney. We're having a lot of Disney here for a while, but I'm kind of, I like it.
Yes.
Okay.
I also like it.
Glad. So yeah, so next week we are doing Little Mermaid. So guys, get on Twitter at WRLM Podcast or at Instagram at We Really Like Musicals. I said that weird, but you know what I mean. And give us those alternate titles. What would you have called The Little Mermaid? I want to know.
I do too.
Cool. Glad we're on the same page there. But I think that's going to do it for our Mary Poppins episode. Guys, thanks for listening again to We Really Like... I never mess that up. How come I can't talk today?
You've done great so far.
Oh, thanks.
Sorry.
Splendid, splendid. Thanks for listening to We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James, and...
I'm Elise.
And let's go fly a kite.
Up to the highest height.
Splendid, splendid. Musicals. Jazz hands.